And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the B-E-A-U-T full studios of Freedoms of the National Streams, Phoenix.com. That's a good one, wasn't it? All right. What we're going to do, it's what y'all been waiting for every, all week. You wait, and what do you want to get? Some Trump report, Dr. Frank Tambourine Trump report. So Dr. Frank is in, and last night we were at a discussion group. They were talking about the benefits of sweatshops. You know, the point, hey, man, they had a job. Somebody paid them money that was more than whatever else they could do, and it was voluntary, and what's your problem? So we're going to have that gentleman on in, oh, Donna, in that card is in my jeans or on the top of my dress. I meant to give that to her last night to send him. You know, I told him to get an email this morning, so let's do that. So this is, we're going to have that gentleman on. That was an interesting, we might talk a little bit about that and how that applies into the economy and the POTUS race 16. But Dr. Frank was there and we're all talking and we had a little conversation about libertarians for Trump. Walter Block, it's interesting. Walter Block, you know, well-known anarchist of Man, I'd None Ya, and he's a professor, and he's written several books, you know, defending, freedom, and for him to come out, but I remember him giving, doing an article about when Obamacare was going on, and he said, you know what, I'll give you nationalized medicine. You want to do that? You want to have health care for everybody? Not a problem, as long as you stop the empire. You bring back all the troops and stop invading everybody and everything, and we'll talk about it. You know, I consider that good trade. Let's do that. Now, of course, they don't want to do it. So this is, I think, the same kind of thing. He's going, yeah, you know, Trump's not as bad as the rest of them, and kind of, you know, libertarians should be for Trump. And I'm going, you know, a lot of liberty going, ow. So by the time we have him on, he can't come on until like 28th, I think it is. So when he comes on, we're gonna drill down on this, but I'm certainly getting a lot of other people's opinion. What's your opinion, Dr. Frank?
About
libertarians for Trump, man. You gonna join?
I think that's,
you gonna get a badge?
Yeah, I want to get a nice shiny badge, card carrying member.
Yeah, learn the handshake.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's probably about time. I think the Libertarian Party, like the Republican Party, is going through this split. You know, Republicans didn't see this coming in a sense, and Republicans are fighting all day. Every day on the show, I talk about how Fox News and the Republicans are split themselves about how to understand, accept Trump. You have traditional Republicans that are breaking for Trump more and more. They felt it perhaps inside their bones. They just didn't have a vessel, an avatar, so to speak, to follow through with. And Trump is that person. You know, for many of us, it was Ron Paul. But I think for many of the neocons, it, for different reasons, for later on in the show, I think they finally woke up with Trump. And I think the libertarians are going through the same process. You know, we're having libertarians that we all got along. We still get along, but we all followed the same tenets. We were all under the banner and the umbrella of Ron Paul and like-minded liberty folks. And then Trump comes and it's splitting up our group. You know, the fact that myself having such support for Donald Trump and yet others just still cannot understand how you can have a libertarian for Trump organization. Keep in mind also that I think this process is basically illuminating, Ernie, you know, this fissure about how we get to become libertarians. You know, I think there's a certain anger that's there for some and maybe not others. I think this is why we were seeing a split in the very beginning when Rand Paul attacked Donald Trump right out of the gate and split the Libertarian.
Who told him to do that?
I have no idea. You know, that was fascinating was the first debate. It was the first debate. And I remember they were doing predictions that, you know, and remember, it was a wild card. Was Donald Trump going to sink? How would he do? Who was going to do what first? And Bill O'Reilly, I can't believe I'm starting off this morning with Bill O'Reilly. But Bill,
Bill's, I'm sorry, I threw up just a little bit.
Yeah, but Bill O'Reilly, I still remembered, and he gave his prediction, and it was very, he was very thoughtful about what he thought was going to happen in this as we moved into the season. And Bill said, you know, I predict one thing. I can tell you right now. Rand Paul is going to go after all gloves off on Donald Trump. And I have to say, I remember hearing that. I recorded it. I think I played it on this show. I was flabbergasted. I'm thinking of all the candidates to bring up. Why Rand Paul? You know, on Fox, there were 17 candidates. And he's like, Rand Paul is going to go after him. I didn't see that coming. I'm telling you, that part I did not see.
I think it was an assignment of somebody to influence the somebody, whether Rand knew it or not, that somebody told him that would be a good idea. We got the focus group of you're not supposed to do anything else but. And it's like, all right, here's my job. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the Trump slayer. I'm the Lovelution is going to go kick ass on some Trump, you know. And these guys, they so took for granted this voting block for liberty that they didn't understand it. You know, I don't think... I think Ron understood it probably more than most, but nobody around him. Mm-hmm. You know, any experience I have with everybody around him, close in the campaign, high up in the campaign, all these guys, there were some that got it, but they had marching orders. And their marching orders were, in the end, you're still a Republican in the party to do what, you know, blah, blah, blah. The only time I've ever seen that buck, that trend bucked, has been Trump. He's like, don't care what you guys think. You're going to be riding my coattails. I'm going to ride in yours. We brought in, I mean, there are so many millions of people that have come in because the Republican Party keeps screaming, we need young and youth and vitality of and diversity and the kind of, and then Ron Paul brings in the freaking most widest, diverse group of young people ever, but they had all their own plans. No, we don't want them to have their plan. We want them to be our beachas for our plan.
And you know, the problem, Ernie, is that it's the arrogance of this establishment because they honestly believe that every time they lose, every time that, you know, George Bush had a hard time originally, it was only, you know, he ran a second time and won because we're mired in, you know, in the Gulf War. I'm sorry, in the, you know, 9/11. But John McCain and then Mitt Romney, I mean, they keep losing. And when they lose, they don't sit back and listen to where are their Republican voters. Where is it? Now, these voters are the voters that are now all coming out for Trump. All these voters that have not been there for two or three or four election cycles. These are Republicans that just basically disappeared. And the Republican base didn't care. Or the establishment didn't care where these people were. Well, they're all showing up for Trump. The question is, where were they? It's because they were not there for the candidates of Mitt Romney, McCain, and the rest of the establishment. But the arrogance is that this establishment doesn't believe that it's them that's the problem. They keep thinking, well, you see, we have to double down on our policies. The reason we're losing members is because the Mexicans don't vote for us. And why? Because, you know, we're being pegged as racist. We can't have that happen. So we have to double down. And we have to force amnesty down our base's throat. We have to allow this sieve of a wall and have people come in. So now, granted, that's another talk maybe for later today or for The Economist that we heard last night. You know, there's definitely arguments about having illegals come here, about having, third world people come and help boost our economy. That's another issue.
Yeah,
that's a very good. I've heard those responses, and there's some sense behind them. But that's, although that guest might be correct with the money, with the history, with perhaps that it is economically positive for a country. But at the end of the day, though, what this is about is not necessarily common sense fiscally. It's about just knowing that you have control of the borders and that we have control over the culture. So it's more of just who's, you know, we just need somebody like an adult in a room to say, okay, let's start taking inventory, like audit the Fed. Let's audit this country. Let's just say, okay, where are we? Because no one feels like we're in control. That's what this Donald Trump issue is with the border.
Because we're not.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, exactly. The people know this, and this is their opportunity to strike back! Strike back! That's all it is.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, well, I see a whole lot of people crying, don't blame me, they point the crooked little fingers, everybody else, spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves, victim of this, victim of that.
That's not going to go away anytime soon. You know, I was talking about that because that is definitely, you know, on people's minds. I talking to people, they're like, "Well, you guys," I'm like, "You're still voting, so I don't want to play." You know, there is a in his article.
Who's
Walter Block. Walter Block says, "Let's see, but the perfect is the enemy of the good. It is our goal to throw our weight behind the candidate who has a reasonable chance of actually becoming president of the United States, whose views are closest to libertarianism." And I can't count how many times I've heard this before. It's always a lesser of evils, that kind of argument. And I'm just, I can't go that far. When put in this way, it is closer that the Donald... It is clear that the Donald is the most congruent with our perspective. This is true mainly because of foreign policy. Now, this is Walter's argument right here. And of the three, foreign policy, economic policy, and personal liberties, the former is the most important. As Murray Rothbard and Bob Higgs have demonstrated over and over again, U.S. foreign policy determines what occurs in economies and in the field of personal liberties. Foreign policy is the dog that wags the other two tails. So the point that he's making is that the support for Trump can be based solely on he's not as warmongering as the other ones. That's his point.
Well, I have two thoughts about the libertarian assessment with them. One is that the speech I gave to the Republican base, this was at the local precinct committee chairs that all came together. Actually, it was both parties all in Chandler and Ahwatukee here in Arizona. So it was a few hundred people showed up. I made videos of Freedom to Fascism and brokered a deal, believe it or not, with the head of the precinct that if I was able to have some of the Ron Paul movement new precinct committee men, which were joining back in 2008-2010, to support this one candidate who was open to Ron Paul and the Ron Paul people, as they used to call us, then he would give me a time slot, a full half hour to give a talk to this group, which was almost unheard of back then. And I did this a few years after the Ron Paul movement in 2008. And I let the dust settle for a bit and then decided to give a talk because I knew this movement was just starting. They thought this Ron Paul thing, I'm sure many of you who were around for that time, they just thought this was just a little flash in the pan, whatever that was about. This Ron Paul old guy, it's how people look at Bernie Sanders now. You know, Ron Paul, he just... Is this some old guy rallying up people, young people who just want to smoke weed? That's pretty much all what they thought that libertarians were about and what Ron Paul was. So they had to come to terms. And I decided to explain it to them that this is not going away. If you thought 2008 was something, wait until 2012. This is coming back. They didn't believe it. I couldn't talk about it in 2008 because, you know, they were still sore about losing with John McCain. And the Tea Party was just getting started with Sarah Palin and this sort of thing. So I waited 2 years and then gave this talk. And I explained to them what is happening. And one of the things I did was I explained to them the Nolan graph, which many of you know is the world's smallest political quiz. And in essence, if for those of you who don't know, I'm sure most of you know, so give me a second. It's 10 questions that they ask you. 5 questions are about economic issues, 5 about economic issues, so social and economic issues. And basically, they're asking you, what is your feeling about each of these 5 questions about the role of government? Should the government be involved or not be involved? And they score you. And the point of the Nolan graph is that Professor Nolan, who just died a few years ago, he was a famous political scientist, and he came up with this concept that politics is not simply left and right, where you have we have conservatism, which believes that social issues should be conservative and economic issues conservative, and liberalism, they believe that economic issues should be liberal and social issues should be liberal. So, but what he was saying is, what if that you want government in both? You want government in social issues and you want government in economic issues? Then you'd be a fascist. Whereas a liberal wants government out of the bedroom, out of social issues, but they want government in economic issues. Whereas a conservative wants government out of economic issues, but in social. So in other words, you know, a liberal wants government out of your bedroom, but in your wallet. A Republican wants the opposite. But what if you're consistent and you want government out of both? God forbid, you want government out of social issues and you want government out of economic. God forbid, right? That's more libertarian philosophy. And so I explained to the Republicans this Nolan graph. And I'll tell you, only about a third of the room walked out on me the minute I mentioned Ron Paul. But after half an hour, 2/3 were still there. So that was, I think, a success. The point, though, is I told them, I said, look, guys, this Ron Paul movement is still getting started. And Wendell Willkie, 1940, I've mentioned, then Barry Goldwater in 1960s, right? That turned into the Ross Perot movement. That eventually turned into the Ron Paul movement. That turned into the Tea Party. Of course, now it's turned into Donald Trump, the Frankenstein monster that finally they've created. But what I told this group was this. I said, you guys need to understand that this country is going back to our roots as libertarian philosophy. I don't mean the Libertarian Party necessarily, but libertarian philosophy. Thomas Jefferson, we're in good company, meaning that this country and the young people, they want government out of the bedroom and out of their wallet, but they don't have an option and where to go. They don't know about libertarianism, so they're just becoming independents. They're ripping up their cards. So what I told this group was that whichever party, the Democrat or Republican, whichever one of you people figures this out and puts up a libertarian-leaning candidate, then you will strike the mother load of electoral votes. All right, you will get the popular vote, I should say. You will get a landslide. And Ron Paul was just scraping at that surface to about to explode. But I said, you need to understand that. And I said, look, between the two parties, I prefer the Republicans to figure this out before a Democrat gets a libertarian-leaning candidate, if I had to make a preference. So I warned them. Of course, they didn't listen. And Ron Paul showed up in 2012. Of course, they still were so scared that they changed the rules on Ron Paul numerous times, including the 2012 rule at the delegate convention, which we'll talk about later. But that, Ernie, and for the audience, is where now we get with Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump the pure Thomas Jefferson candidate that many of us would like to have? No. But what I'm mentioning, I know. I can't believe I even said that. But you see where I'm going, though, is where Walter Block is coming from, in my opinion. I'm not trying to speak for him. But I sense that Donald Trump, as much as I'll be struck by the libertarian gods here, he has a libertarian slant, if you think about it. I mean, some people looked at Ronald Reagan as having more of a libertarian slant. I mean, he's the one that educated Dr. Ron Paul that he was a libertarian, for God's sake. Dr. Paul admits that he learned he was a libertarian from having a conversation privately with the president, Ronald Reagan. So Ronald Reagan understood these concepts. And I think Donald Trump, whether he knows it or not, is like that. He's against the wars, in essence. He is in favor of liberal social issues. You know, he's not trying to ban gay marriage and the like. At the same time, he wants to be more of a, you know, aside from the strong borders, which is a questionable deal, but he's an economic conservative. So if you really start thinking about the positions, he follows more of a libertarian slant, at least in somewhat philosophy.
You know,
not a purist, of course.
You know, I have a comment when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hi, Arizona. I'm Ivanka Trump, and I'm very excited for March 22nd, as that is the date that the Republican primary is coming to your state. Please come out and support my father, Donald J. Trump. Go to his website, donaldjtrump.com/Arizona, to learn everything you need to know about how to vote in the primary for my father. All the information is readily available right there, including your individual polling location. So check it out. But most importantly, on March 22nd, come out and support my father as we aim to make America great again. We appreciate it, Arizona.
Trump, Arizona. Okay, I went to this site. It's I just did it here. Trump, Arizona. I mean, it's DonaldJTrump.com/Arizona, and it has that commercial of his lovely daughter. She's going to be president. She's going to be the first woman president. I just feel this coming.
Yeah. The one thing I completely agree. This is a dynasty, a new dynasty, like the Kennedys. And I can't believe I'm saying that, too. But this is a new American dynasty, I believe.
Yeah. No, he's got such a long-term something else plan. There's something. He's got a dead man switch on something. Whatever. All right. So, let's see. Election days, the rules are, you must have, you got to do, you go, and we babysat you, and this is what you got to do. All right. Cool. Get involved in Arizona. Fill out the thing. You know, you can be in charge. Dun, da, da. Okay, so Trump, the election here is March 22nd, which is what, this next Tuesday?
Yes. I already knew we'd be here. Remember, I predicted this a long time ago. But
yeah,
you'd be here? Did you think we'd be sitting here talking about you getting? And by the way,
I knew Trump would make it interesting. And yeah. I tell you when it turned for me that I figured he was going to stay in. It was the first debate. Once he gets up there and they start slapping him, then he's not going to let that go away. You know, he's just never going to go. And I think you put it best when you pointed out Trump as a brand. And when I saw the, you know, months later, I mean, just a couple of months ago, I saw the Barbara Walters, you know, the interview that she had done with Trump and his wife and his family and so on. I was so impressed with the package that he could present.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that, you know, you could see the kids were all, you know, they're crafted into, man, they understand the media. They understand every freaking word out of you. Better, who's going to be the first one that cracks? Who's going to be the first one that says something stupid? Who's going to be the first one? Go ahead. You know, they're going to get excommunicated from the family or something. But they did a really good job. And I tell you what it was. When you made the point about Trump being the brand and that him pulling out, because I've seen it happen before. Perot pulled out right when he's at the peak. It's going to get, he might win, and he pulls out. Then he comes back in, you know, because there's a class action lawsuit and everything. And I'm going, yeah, that, you know, that was not good. Ron Paul, both conventions, 8 and 12, he pulls out right before, you know, you said you promised that if we kept doing, you'd go to the convention, we middle finger to the man.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, not allowed middle finger. Trump is that middle finger.
Yep.
It was denied us at the convention when Trump made it clear that, you know, it's his brand up there, and that's international. If he were to pull, it would affect him everywhere.
Yep.
So he can't. I don't see how he's in. I think he was in from the beginning.
Yep.
I think he's been planning this for a while. I think it was when Mitt Romney lost in 12. He's like, seriously, all right, move over, young Padawans. I'm going to show you how it's done. And I know he just has to have something on these guys. I don't know how not.
Well, you know, there's something also that might be, and this might sound a little simplistic, but I think he's running for president. And I've heard hints of this from people, like his family interviews that are kind of off the side, kind of off the grid, not the main, you know, Barbara Walters type thing. But is that I think Trump is just bored. Trump.
Tomorrow the world.
Trump is just that damn good at every. Matter of fact, his father said something that Trump actually. It's an art of the deal. I think it was an art of the deal. His father was quoted of saying, "I don't understand this kid of mine. No matter what is thrown at him, he turns everything into gold." It's like Rumpelstiltskin. And I forget the actual phrase that he used. But his own father.
Midas.
The Midas touch. That his father was noticing this kid who was not very couth, who was, you know, brash and but street smart. And, of course, you know, his father was a millionaire. And he worked with, you know, salespeople and real estate brokers and the elite in New York of his day. But he never saw anything like his son. Like, his son just seemed to, like the Teflon Don. I mean, no matter what happened, he would just make money. And we could, that's another analysis about how he does it. Is it charisma? Is it just luck? Is it just he's so brilliant, which he is? I mean, there's a combination of these things. But Trump, if you think about it, especially if you've read his book, I keep telling you people, you have to read Art of the Deal, whether you like Trump or not. You need to understand him. Remember, I told Republicans, you need to learn about Ron Paul to understand what this movement is. You need to understand Donald Trump. But I think with Trump, he had done so many things at such an early age. I mean, he wound up, you know, by the time he was 30, he was writing his first books. He was already buying up, you know, all of Manhattan. He built the Taj Mahal, which is at the time the largest casino in the world outside of, I think, Vegas. It was huge. It was there in Atlantic City. I watched it being built, for God's sake. I talked about it on the show, the Trump Taj Mahal. And, you know, when I was a young kid, you know, Trump was just an old guy. But I realized now he was 35. The guy was 35 when he put together the giant Trump Taj Mahal. He also was writing books. He was on the Howard Stern show. He did, you know, which I know, but he did everything
for
media.
Able to do it.
He did it. He did.
Who else of the presidential candidates could even do Howard Stern?
Exactly. He did 60 Minutes. He would do international economic talks. He would be on Howard Stern. He was in the wrestling rink. McMahon from the WWF.
Yeah,
he did a wrestling match, for God's sake.
No, I saw a stills of him with his hair flopping all over in his suit on the mat.
Yeah.
So you actually saw the...
Yeah. It was called the Battle of the Billionaires. Vince McMahon and Donald Trump. I mean, we got to play at some point. We'll play it later. But the thing is...
I don't know why we haven't done that.
There's so much. The thing is, he's, you know, Howard Stern. I hate to bring up Howard Stern on the show, but he talks about the self-proclaimed king of all media. All right. Why? Because he conquered radio. Howard Stern conquered the movies. I mean, his movie was like number one at the box office, Private Parts. He had number one book, Private Parts, the book, and not to mention other books. He had videos that went right to the top. But Bongo Fiesta, I have to admit, I actually have a copy. That's another story. We'll have a Howard Stern watch party. But anyway, the thing is, Howard Stern did all of that, including he did his reality show. What is it? The America's Got Talent or something. So, I mean, he's done quite a bit more than most people ever have. That's Howard Stern. Well, Donald Trump has done, you know, all of that in a different way. And he's basically the king of the mountain in everything. He's taken over New York. He's taking over the world as far as luxury properties. He has properties anywhere in the world that anyone really wants to go, at least from his perspective. He's bought politicians. He basically can do whatever he wants. He's I don't say that in an anarchist, dictator sense, although there's some certain overtones that we're concerned about. But that's what Donald Trump has done. And I think he's done everything, and he's sitting back watching that the one thing that was always in his way to get to where he's at, which he has succeeded, has been government. And I think Donald Trump's view is like Peter Schiff has said. Again, I can't believe I'm mentioning those two in a sentence.
Yeah, we're playing the wrestling in the background while you're talking.
And so the thing is with Trump is he talks about, or I'm sorry, with Peter Schiff, is that businessmen, when they do well, and what Obama and liberals don't understand, is that businessmen do well certain businesses that are still making money, they do well in spite of government, not because of all these government regulations, but in spite of it, which shows you how tenacious these companies are. And people don't realize how much upstream, upwind these companies have to fight to get to where they're at. They don't get it. Donald Trump does. Donald Trump has been this successful even in light of all of these regulations and problems. And of course, how has he done it? Well, he's played both sides. He's given money to both sides and he understands the system. So the fact that he's done everything and he's kind of circled the drain in a way, he's been all around the map.
When you're
the
doing,
only thing left is the president.
I know, when you're doing this, and what the deal was, there was some...
We got to play that.
Guys,
let's play it live.
Well, let's play it. You know, they...
Well, with the audio. Let's do the audio. Oh, there she's cutting off his hair.
This is... it was, you know, depending on who won the match, or where they cut off their hair or something.
Yeah.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And so, obviously throughout this campaign, Donald Trump has been underestimated by almost everybody, right? I mean, we've seen that repeatedly. Everybody who's supposed to know what they're talking about said he didn't have any chance, blah, blah, blah. Now here we are. There are 17 candidates, 18, Gilmore. And with all due respect, you were there. And now it's down to really effectively.
Megan, the reason that I'm, sitting in this chair tonight talking to you instead of on the stage is because, like everybody else, I underestimated Donald Trump and the connection he was having to voters. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the risk that the Democrats run in taking him on, because he's unlike anything they've ever seen or dealt with before. Even the Clintons, with the Clinton playbook, they don't know what to do with him.
No, they really don't. And they're conventional politicians, but they're also extraordinarily rugged. They're ruthless. I've run against their machine every race I ever had to fight in Arkansas, so I know it well. And so I've run against their machine, and I've run against Donald Trump. And I can tell you, Hillary is in for the ride of her life when she has to take on Donald Trump. It'll be unlike anything she or her husband have ever faced before.
So,
and I really think that it is, game advantage for Trump.
Yep, so that's, there we go. That was Mike Huckabee talking with Megyn Kelly last night. Fox News has been astounding.
That was just last night?
That was just last night.
Oh,
well, two nights ago, yeah. That was Mike Huckabee talking about after Super Tuesday 2, as they say, Super Tuesday 2, which now it keeps going. But they're having a reckoning on Fox more than usual, where, and I have a number of clips we'll play, maybe it's scattered through the show, of the establishment now. But the last number of weeks, it was sort of the silent majority people on Fox, the Sean Hannitys, people that were coming out for Fox. But now Trump, after these last votes, these number of states, is he starting to break through that ceiling? They keep saying the ceiling's 20%, 30%, 40%. Well,
50%.
Now he's at 50%. He's cracked that.
Can't be Hillary, though.
Yeah, right.
That's what
right.
they said.
Yeah. I said
they've
on the show.
They've been right so far.
Exactly. I've said on the show, his only obstacle is how much exposure he and the media will give Trump when they try to screw him over in Ohio for the convention. Because if he gets through that, that's what we've been debating. I'm telling you, if he gets that nomination, he will win. I've said this from 6 months ago. He will win the general in a landslide. He will slam it. It'll be
so
over.
So uneven, double standard. I mean, when you have a media that is embracing and highlighting the reporters and the activists and everything that are threatening death, assassination, that's how we're going to solve this problem. I remember, in movies and reading about it and study of JFK. It was the same kind of rhetoric was going on around. Matter of fact, it was Chicago. I think JFK, there was an aborted, some guy made a big deal out of it. Somebody was telling me, and he goes, oh, they're going to, it was a Secret Service guy. He's like, they're going to kill him in Chicago. He goes, yeah. So he didn't go. And then they did it a couple weeks later in Dallas or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, this is they build up this fervor of course, everybody hates him. See, we just showed you pictures of everybody hating him, and they really hate him. So he like died because they hated him. And,
right.
Book closed.
Which, and we're probably jumping ahead, but this plays into the politics, which is a whole other area about how he's going to secure that nomination, how he's going to get those other delegates. Hear me out for a second, because I think ultimately he's going to go with Cruz. I think Cruz has to be his VP. If the Republicans play hardball at that establishment, the only way is to get Cruz to give his delegates to him, because they have like 82% of all of them. You can't even touch them with a Mr. Magoo Kasich, okay? It's not even possible. Those two have to unify and come together. I think Cruz ultimately will, because there's no way for him to get there.
There's been Cruz, olive branches already.
Oh, he's been doing it. Trump has been doing all of laying them out every time, after every state vote.
I like Cruz.
So he's putting that out there.
He's all right.
And Cruz, yeah, exactly. So Cruz, I think, realizes Cruz is trying to play it straight. He's saying, I don't believe in a contested convention. I don't believe in this brokered convention. We have to do it straight. Whoever wins it should do it properly. Now, the reason he's saying that
properly is what the hell?
Exactly.
Does that
mean? What does that mean? But the reason he's saying that is he's saying, don't deny Trump he's saying, don't deny whoever is the front runner with the nomination.
Legitimate.
He's saying that. Of course, the reason he's saying that is because the establishment won't back him. If the establishment would back him, he'd be all in favor of the party rules. But he knows that if he doesn't beat Trump straight up with the delegates, then he cannot pull a Kasich or a Rubio and come in from the rear,
because they're not going to support
him. They'll go over him, hopscotch him, and go right to Rubio, or first be Jeb, then Rubio, and now it's going to be Kasich, which they can't believe it's Kasich. But that's what they're so Cruz knows that he's kind of sandwiched. Trump has the front runner and Kasich has the caboose, and he's sort of in the middle and has no way out. So Cruz, though, is an opportunist. I don't trust him at all. Trusted, right? Yeah, hell yeah, hell no. So Cruz is, in my opinion, maybe a step away from antisocial disorder, and that's another discussion. But he changes anything for what is popular.
Frank's got a disorder for everybody.
Yeah, no. No, it's not for everybody. It's very few people I mentioned.
What's my disorder? Now you got one.
No, yes. Hey, Donna, we need you in here for this one. But that's where Cruz is. He's kind of in a pickle, as they say. So I think the only way out is going to be to team up with Trump, because at least that way he can be VP. Think about it. He has Texas, right? And Trump has Florida. So they already have the two big ones locked up aside from California. And Cruz can be VP. That way they solidify the anti-establishment, put the last nail in the coffin of the establishment.
Wins California.
And Cruz now is young. He's only 45, whatever, that he can run again at some point. At least there's an opportunity
for
president.
And he's
going
to change his demeanor because
I know. This whole slimy sales guy for the, for the religious movement. I mean, it really turns people off. He doesn't even see it. But that's the only game plan for Cruz, because otherwise Cruz, like Rubio, has nothing to do when this campaign's over. They threw all their eggs in one cart.
So Rubio's not running for Senate anymore? No.
Well, Rubio's completely dead now. That's the kicker. He burnt all of his bridges in Florida, right? The Charlie Crist race. Then he did everything again. He basically backstabbed Jeb Bush and the establishment in Florida. And then he gave up a Senate seat, which he wasn't using much anyway. He wasn't going there to vote. Yeah. And so now, when he lost his own state, he gambled. People said he should have pulled out before the Florida vote.
So he's going for a talking head circuit on Fox?
Wait, could be VP, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. If he stays in Florida before he lost Florida, he could have run for governor. That's where people thought he'd be. But at this point, he got destroyed in his home state, for God's sake. He almost came in almost in third place to Cruz, for God's sake. He lost his state embarrassingly, not to mention he lost his credibility by the small hands and all that crap that he did earlier. So he really just crashed and burned. And unlike Trump, who would, if he lost, would still stay a billionaire, and Jeb Bush is still Jeb Bush, and everyone still has their positions, Rubio has nothing to fall back on. So he's sitting there with these delegates. What do you do? Well, if it's contested, Rubio could be a person that did throw up. We'll talk later. It's not going to happen because this is exposed, and the establishment cannot ram this one down the people's throat. So what might they try to do is say the establishment will go with you if you make Rubio the VP. So that's one way that if Trump was going to do the olive branch, he'd say, okay, let's unify this party. I will put Rubio as the VP. It's a smart decision in many ways, except for one, is that he's establishment. And if there's a target on your head, then Trump knows that all they have to do is that the establishment is salivating death warrant to put the establishment back in.
I wouldn't trust him.
There's no way he'll do that.
They would go, then we win either way, Hillary or we'll get Rubio. You know, I don't trust him. And every time Trump gets an opportunity in the last lately, he's always throws in one kind. Yeah, you know, Trump, Cruz is okay. Yeah, I like Cruz. Yeah, Cruz. Because I can see if he needs him, you know, he needs the delegates. They just come in as a team and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll change the rules. Because my man Jeb is just sitting over there waiting for his opportunity to pounce.
Oh, wow. He's just,
you know what? All you got to do is just count on their freaking ewness. And then we have a Showtime
Jeb
clip.
Yep.
In the next hour, we're going to do that, you know, just really closely parallels, you know, what Dr. Frank's been saying. And I'm telling you, we have a story up there about Trump and Trump is Hitler, fiction or fact, on Lou Rockwell. We got it up there, you know, comparing the history of Hitler before he became, you know, Lord God King. Hell, he wrote Mein Kampf from jail. So, I mean, you know, the guy had issues, and they're trying to say that's not a deal. But how the reality of Trump's America outpaced Netflix House of Cards. Oh, my God.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, March 17th, 2016. Silver is trading at $15.68 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,265 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $423. Antiwar.com reports officials with the Syrian Kurdish forces say they intend to declare a democratic federal system immediately in the territory they control across northern Syria, formalizing their de facto autonomy over a broad swath of the Syrian side of the border with Turkey. The official announcement is scheduled for Thursday. The PYD, the primary political force in the region and political wing of the YPG, the Kurdish militia in the region, says the decision was taken after consultation with regional minorities and say autonomy is the best way to protect Syria's territorial integrity in the future. That likely won't sit well with the major rebel factions in the ongoing Syrian civil war, which have angrily rejected the notion of federalism in recent comments, envisioning a powerful, heavily centralized state with themselves at the helm after the war. Turkey, which attacks YPG forces intermittently, is also furious at the announcement, with their foreign ministry insisting they would never recognize Kurdish autonomy in the region. And even though the plan appears modeled on what the U.S. imposed in Iraqi Kurdistan during the 2003 occupation. The Obama administration has also expressed opposition, saying they oppose any autonomy for Syria's Kurds.
In 1999, Daryl W. Perry began a search for traditional values, which led him down a path to the ideas of liberty. He tells the story in A Rebel's Journey, My Path to Liberty. Of the book, Dr. Brian Sovereign says, "Sometimes it's funny, and sometimes I think it's crazy, but it's always authentic." Find A Rebel's Journey, My Path to Liberty by Daryl W. Perry on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, ask for A Rebel's Journey wherever books are sold, or visit arebelsjourney.com. UPI reports the U.S. Federal Reserve decided Wednesday to hold key interest rates steady, citing a volatile domestic stock market and an uncertain global economic climate, but said further hikes are expected before 2016 is over. The Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave the American Central Bank's benchmark interest rate in a range between a quarter and half of a percent at the conclusion of its two-day March meeting on Wednesday. An updated outlook for 2016 includes two small interest rate hikes, down from a forecast of four at the Fed's December meeting when the central bank raised rates for the first time in 9 years. A committee report a month later did not include an economic assessment, but Wednesday's did, and said the domestic climate is growing at a moderate pace. Inflation, a key economic gauge and factor in the Federal Reserve's interest rate evaluation, remains below where analysts thought it would be. Yellen said the central bank expects inflation to return to the 2% threshold along with further economic growth and labor strides within the next 2 to 3 years.
For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co.
Reuters reports the Uber driver in Michigan charged with murdering six people last month in a shooting spree has filed a $10 million federal civil rights lawsuit against the ride-sharing company, saying that it is Uber's fault he is in prison. Jason Dalton, 45, filed the two-page handwritten lawsuit against Uber in U.S. District Court on Tuesday, saying the company has ruined his life and never invited him to any corporate parties. Dalton wrote, "Uber does not care about its drivers. We are peasants and pawn pieces to Uber's bottom line," adding that the company discriminated against him because of his mental health, saying, "I'm currently in prison because of Uber." Dalton wrote that he is seeking a jury trial and would represent himself in court. Uber responded with a statement saying, "It's hard to know how to respond to someone who refuses to take responsibility for his own actions." Dalton told police that when he would press a button on his phone screen, the horned cow head of the devil would appear and give him an assignment that he said would literally take over his body. He faces 16 charges, including six of murder, that can bring life in prison. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.